Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. This is our final study in the series on Lessons for Life. We've been talking about education from the Word of God and practical lessons that will bless our lives and those around us. And our topic today, learning for eternity. You say, Derek, what are you talking about? We'll discover that God has a plan for our future that's beyond our wildest imagination. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you joined us. And team, it's good to be together again, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
What a series this has been. Mm-hmm. Lessons for Life. And take a look, folks. It's just five people here. Mm-hmm. We're still in a global health pandemic. But we're glad that we can be together with you today. Mm-hmm. And we're glad that you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. It's always wonderful to hear from you. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. And we get excited. We share it with the team because we're here to let God work in miraculous ways. Here's a note from Jason in Belize. Hmm. That's Belize is located, Gladys?
South America.
On the coast, the northern coast of South America. I live in Plasencia Village. And I try to watch Hope Sabbath School every week.
Awesome.
And I learn a lot. God bless you for the good work that you do. Isn't it amazing? Every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, over 200 countries around the world. You don't think when we're studying, someone in Belize just tuned in because they're searching for hope. We're just so glad, each one of you, you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Habit writes to us from Zambia. Mm. Habit. Lots of Hope Sabbath School members in Zambia. Mm-hmm. And Habit says, I recently joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church family.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And I've been watching Hope Sabbath School for some time now. Mm. I really love how you conduct the interactive Bible study each time I tune in. I cannot afford to miss even one study.
Amen.
May God bless you as you continue giving hope to the hopeless through Hope Channel.
Amen.
Wow, Habit, we're glad you're part of the family of God, and we're glad you're learning more about God's amazing love. Well, here's a note from a donor in Texas. And I just want to pause and say thank you to each one of you for your support of this ministry. Maybe you've never helped before, but as you're thinking about how you can partner with us, you can go to hopetv.org/hopeSS. That's our page. Or you can just Google it. And there's a donate button. You can click that button and say, I want to partner with you in this ministry. So many lives are being changed. Well, that's what this donor has done. And we don't read a name, but we do want to say thank you. Although much of the year has passed, I just want to say, the donor writes, that Hope Sabbath School has been one of my lifelines for a reassurance of my faith during these challenging times.
Amen.
You say, I could agree with that. Locked in my home, church is closed. That God used Christian media as a lifeline during these challenging times. On this note, the donor writes, I would like to pledge a monthly donation of $100.
Amen.
Amen.
We call those sustaining partners, by the way, that you can just have that deducted on a monthly basis. And this person says, I just want to be a part of that. Be encouraged with your continuous, selfless endeavor, taking the everlasting gospel to the world.
Amen. Amen.
How? Through your interactive Bible study, Hope Sabbath School. These daily studies have truly enabled me to grow stronger in the Word of God. Well, I'm not going to read your name from Texas, but you know who you are. And I just want to say thank you for partnering with us. And thank you to all of our donors for being part of this great miracle. Well, Kara writes from Michigan. She says, hello, Hope Sabbath School.
Hello.
Well, we got six waves. I can't begin to tell you what a blessing you've been to me over the last year. I am unable to attend church right now due to health issues. I really feel that I'm among friends when I join you.
Amen.
Thank you, and God bless you. Well, Kara, God bless you too. We're glad that even through the challenging time with your health issues, that you're not abandoned, that we're part of the family of God together. Well, here's one last note from Yvonne in Rwanda. Yvonne writes and says, I learned so much from Hope Sabbath School. God bless you. How you study the Bible, how participants make comments on the lessons, how you sing with joy. Let us be prepared. Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
Well, Yvonne, thank you for writing to us. Right now, we need you to sing with us our theme song from Proverbs 19 and verse 20. Let's sing together.
Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. You may be wise in your latter days.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, that theme song, Listen to Counsel, Receive Instruction, that's what we've been doing in this series, Lessons for Life, getting an education from you. Mm-hmm. But today, as we study about learning for eternity, open our minds to see the amazing future you have for us. May lives be blessed as a result of the study today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The Bible is very clear that there is hope beyond the grave.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
And we're going to start in one of the best known texts in the whole Bible. You say, Derek, where would that be? Let's try
John 3:16.
Gladys, could you read that from your translation for us?
Yes, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Amen.
Now, if you knew more about the Bible, and we're not studying about salvation specifically today, should not perish. Why would they perish? Answer, because of the wages of sin is
death.
And how many have sinned? Oh, you don't have to ask that. Yes. We know. We've all sinned, haven't we? But the Bible tells us, fallen short of the glory of God. But the Bible says it's not inevitable that we will experience eternal death.
That's right.
God's plan is that we would experience
life.
Eternal life. Let's keep that theme. 1 John chapter 5, Jason, verse 13. This is the same gospel writer who recorded the words of Jesus in his gospel, now in a letter to Christians.
I've got the New King James Version here. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God.
Now that seems to suggest that eternal life begins when?
Now.
Right now. Mm-hmm. That's right. Not I'll have it someday. But that fullness of life can begin even now. Now we'll discover from the Bible, I may have a little sleep. But I'm going to wake up from that sleep, and there's an eternal life to look forward to. Yes. Well, that's John's record. Look at Paul's testimony in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. You know, the Bible talks about line upon line, precept upon precept. We're studying different testimonies. And Pedro, would you read for us 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16, Paul's testimony to the young preacher Timothy?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, 1 Timothy 1, verses 15 to 16. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. However, for this reason I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life.
We're going to believe on him for everlasting life. By the way, he first he said, I'm the worst of sinners. And the result of sin?
Death.
So I don't deserve this, but it comes as a gift through faith in Jesus, right?
Yes.
I've got an eternal future with him. One more text from a testimony of Jude, right before the book of Revelation, verse 20 and 21. Jason, if you could read that for us. Jude, some Bible scholars believe, was actually one of these brothers of Jesus, as described in Matthew 13. Actually, one of the sons of Joseph. Because he doesn't begin Jude by saying I'm a
brother of James.
That was a code word, because James is also called the brother of Jesus, the leader of the church there. So he recognizes that Jesus is Messiah, Son of God, but by saying I'm brother of James. And by the way, did you know that the brothers became followers of Jesus? They're in the upper room. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Even though they didn't believe in him at first. Let's see what Jude says, Jason, in Jude verse 20 and 21.
I've got the New King James Version here. Jude verses 20 and 21. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life.
It's a beautiful promise that there is an eternal life. Now, I remember someone telling me one time, I do not want to live forever. There's just so much sickness and sadness and heartache and broken homes and... What did that person fail to understand about this gift of eternal life, Sabina?
That the life that God provides for us eternally is not just like the life that we have right now, that we are going to be healed and sin will be no more. So it's actually a good life and not a bad one.
I like to see you smiling when you're sharing that. And of course, we'll read that it's a place where righteousness dwells.
That's right.
Right? No more sin, no more tears, no more heartache. No more pain, right? So let's study about this life, because we'll discover that it's not just some kind of spirit existence or sitting on a cloud playing a harp. It's a very real existence.
Amen.
We're going to be learning for eternity.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
But how do we get from the sleep of death to an eternal life? That's an important... What are some ideas that people have about how I get from the sleep of death to eternal life? Yes,
there is the thought that you either experience heaven or hell immediately after you die.
Okay, so somehow your disembodied spirit will go to heaven. The Bible does say our breath returns to God,
right?
Or it goes to a place of torment, fire. There's all kinds of... What other ideas are there about life after the grave?
Well, some people believe that if you did good enough in your life and you have reached the peak of your spirit, you're not going to experience something greater outside of your body.
Maybe like a reincarnation.
Yes.
You know, if you didn't do well, you might reincarnate as a rat or, you know, something, but maybe a higher form. And isn't there hopefully an end to that cycle? You reach nirvana or something, nirvana. What did Jesus say? See, we're followers of Jesus, right?
Amen.
So what did Jesus say? He wants to give us eternal life, he said in John 3:16. Let's look at some of his teaching. Stephanie, could you take us to John 6 and verse 40? John 6. I love to read the words of Jesus. I really do. Sometimes I read other words, even in the Bible, that are a little complicated. But Jesus is so clear and simple. What does he say in John 6 and verse 40?
And this is coming from the New King James Version. It says, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day."
That's the only verse you have. You say, raise him up. You mean like in an elevator, like raise him up? Or what's he talking about here?
Raise them from the dead.
Raise from the dead. Okay, so even if you die,
you will live again.
You haven't lost eternal life. Now, the Bible does say there are some who'll be living when Jesus returns, right?
That's right.
This mortal, what does it say?
Immortality.
This corruptible will
put on
incorruption, because like you said, we're not scarred by sin anymore, right?
Yep. Yeah.
But those who've fallen asleep, he will raise them up. Are there any other verses where Jesus talks about that resurrection?
Yes.
Well, actually, right before in John chapter 5,
yes.
We find, Sabine, if you could read John 5, 28 and 29.
Sure. I'll be reading from the New International Version, and it says, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned."
The book of Revelation will show us there's a thousand years between those two resurrections. But I already know by listening to Jesus which resurrection I want to come up in. Which one is it?
The first.
The resurrection of the righteous, right?
Yes. Yes.
The blessed, it's called. The blessed resurrection.
Yes.
Let's read what Jesus says at the beginning of Revelation chapter 1. Verses 17 and 18, Gladys.
I'm reading from the New Living Translation, Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, 'Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I die, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave.'"
Amen.
He's got the keys.
Amen.
By the way, Satan would like to keep all of God's people dead, right?
Yes.
Yes.
But Jesus has the keys.
That's right.
Because he's conquered death in his resurrection from the dead.
Amen.
He is our living Savior. Amen. And so this is something really exciting to talk about. Yes, Pedro.
And it's exciting to know that even at the death of Christ, Satan tried to hold him back, and he was not able to, and that the affirmation that he is not going to be able to hold us back to be resurrected.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Right. Yes. That the victory of Jesus is our victory too.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Now, this idea, the text that I think Stephanie you read about raising up at the last day, we know there's a real resurrection then, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But something else is happening at the last day. Where else in Scripture can we find, Jason, any more information about this last day? What day is Jesus talking about?
So 1 Thessalonians references it.
Okay. Let's take a look at
that. If I can read it straight from the Scripture.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
Chapter 4, and I've got the New King James Version here, verses 13 through 16. And this is what the Bible says. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first.
So the event when this resurrection of the blessed occurs is?
Second coming.
Glorious return of Jesus. Didn't he say, I will come again.
Yes.
And receive you to myself.
Yes.
So there's this resurrection. Mm-hmm. What is life going to be like for the redeemed after the resurrection? Well, you were reading verses 13 through 16. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At least one glimpse is verse 17. Of 1 Thessalonians 4, if you could read it for us, Jason.
Sure. So adding now 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17, still New King James Version. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord.
So we're going to be caught up with the
The resurrected ones.
The resurrected righteous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To meet the Lord in the air.
Yeah.
Then what?
To live with him forever.
It just says, one phrase actually, so we shall ever be or always be with the Lord. If that's all we knew about our eternal life, Sabina, is that okay?
It's absolutely fine. It's wonderful.
It's more than okay, right?
It's more than okay.
It's wonderful that we're going to always be with the Lord.
Yes.
So if people have heated arguments about what it's going to be like, could we just rejoice that we're going to always be with the Lord?
Yes.
But the Bible has some more to say. We're going to look at it in just a minute. Pedro.
I remember one time a friend of mine came in and asked me a question. It's like, what would you do if somebody let you be on a paradise island one day? And the question I asked him is, who going to be there with me? Because I'm willing to go, but who is there, it makes a lot of difference. So understanding that Jesus is there, I think, is the most important thing. And if you tell me, you know, my wife is going to be down in a low part of the city, I would say, well, I'll be there with her. I don't care where she is. I want her to be with her. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. So this God wants to give us the gift of eternal life, right?
Yes.
And we don't lose it if we fall asleep in death.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to raise us up when Jesus comes in glory.
Yes.
And the rest of the story is that we're going to
live with God forever.
Always be with the Lord. Forever. Ever be with the Lord.
Yeah.
But the Bible gives us a little more information. So let's go to Revelation chapter 20 and look at verse 4 and verse 6. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. Gladys, could you read that for us?
Sure. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And it says, then I saw thrones, and the people sitting on them had been given the authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony about Jesus and for the proclaiming of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast of his statue, nor accepted his mark on their foreheads or their hands. They shall all come to life again, and they reign with Christ for 1,000 years.
Now, it's very interesting because the righteous, we read, are caught up to meet the Lord in the air and so ever with the Lord. Yeah. Revelation describes the earth as desolate because our study will show that the wicked who are living when Christ returns are destroyed by the brightness of his coming. There's a second resurrection coming, but not until after the millennium. Yeah. So where are the righteous, Jason, during that 1,000 years?
Well, this verse says that there's this judgment going on. So apparently we're going to be with the Lord in heaven where he is. And there's going to be kind of this looking and seeing what has happened through the history of the earth and what has gone on. And Revelation also tells us a little more and some details even in this chapter about what's going on in this process, because there's also kind of a judgment here for the devil and his angels as well along this process.
Let's look at a couple of verses that talk about some of the things that are happening during that 1,000 years. Now, again, if you say, well, I don't know, I understand all of that, it's okay because I'm going to be with the Lord, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We're with him.
He'll explain that.
But let's take a look. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. Stephanie, if you could read that. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3. Jason, if you could read that verse. What are some lessons we'll be learning during that time?
All right. And 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5 from the New King James Version. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God.
So you'd read the books are opened, right? And there's this judgment. If every case is already settled because Christ has come, the one who is righteous be righteous still, the one who is unholy, unholy still, what kind of judgment's going on? Well, let's look at one more verse and then let's discuss it together. And why would God want those that he's blessed with an eternal life with him to spend this time reviewing these records?
And I've got the New King James Version here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?
What angels would we be judging, Pedro?
Well, we can see that when we get to heaven, we'll have questions. You know, what happened? How did the decisions were made? And I think God wants to be transparent with the whole universe, and he will be allowing us to ask questions. So we'll be going to be asking the questions about the fallen angels. Mm-hmm. How did they fall? What choices did they make? We can ask even the questions how the angels decided to stay with Jesus, and probably those that are not there.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a curious mind, God says, here are the files, take a look at it. I don't know if I've been in the courthouse for several times in a previous job I had, and sometimes people spend hours reading those cases to try to understand how things were judged and if they were correct, if there was any appeal that needs to be made. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, God is trying to give us the chance for us to review the records and to see, hey, he was righteous in judging.
Stephanie, what does it tell you about the character of God that he's so transparent? I mean, we're just created beings. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the God of the universe, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That he would be so transparent and say, here are the records, look and see.
For me, it causes me to trust him because he's not hiding anything from me.
Yeah.
And he wants me to see how much he loved those who were not there as much as he loved us who are there.
Mm-hmm. All right. That includes not only fallen angels.
Yes.
Yeah. But our family members.
Could even be family members, human family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, God, did you give them every possible opportunity? What were the choices that they made that really hardened their hearts, Jason? Mm-hmm.
Pedro made references to court cases, which made me think about human justice. And there are a lot of our human justice system today, a lot of people don't want to look at what's gone on, and they want to try to cover up and hide what actually went on because it might reveal some uncomfortable things, but it's amazing to me that God actually wants to show us that He is truly just, and He is not afraid for us to see the truth of what has gone on, which shows that God cares about justice, and His justice is perfect.
Mm-hmm. Spoken as an attorney, right? And not just for us, but for the entire universe.
Yes.
Exactly. That transparency is crucial. Yeah. Stephanie.
And just what Jason had said, it made me think, of all the people, God doesn't have to prove Himself. Yeah. He's the God of the universe, and yet He stoops and says, go ahead, read the transcript. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll read some of that transcript with tears, won't we?
Mm. Yeah.
God, You did so much, and still people refuse to accept Your love. So it may not be easy reading, but God wants to be transparent because He loves us. Gladys.
God doesn't want us to love Him out of fear. And there's some people that go to church or do the right thing because they don't want to be lost, or they don't want to be in the fire, not because they have a relationship. So I see the judgment in a way that God gives everybody the opportunity. Just see for yourself, so you don't have any questions, you know, like why my friend is not here, why my father or my mother. But He wants to make sure that you understand His character fully.
Yes.
So you
yes.
will have absolutely no questions about it.
Mm.
Pedro?
I see a God of relationship. You know, if you have a relationship with someone that's not being open or trying to be transparent, is the word that we use, it's important. And when you get to heaven, one of the encounters I want to see is between Stephen and Paul. Because not only are we going to have questions of people that have not been here, but people that are there. It's like, what Saul is doing here, probably Stephen was, and Jesus is going to tell the story of his conversion. I'm looking forward to see the transformation that God has done in people's life.
If you read Acts chapter 7, the end of the chapter, after that powerful witness by Stephen, when he's stoned, Saul of Tarsus is there. Mm. And chapter 8, Saul of Tarsus is acting like a maniac. Forcing people to blaspheme and dragging people to prison. But Acts chapter 9, he meets Jesus.
Amen.
And how much does Stephen know about that story?
No.
Nothing.
The Bible says the living know they'll die. The dead?
Don't die.
They're sleeping. Stephen is sleeping. He'll be one who's raised when Jesus comes in glory.
Amen.
And like Pedro said, he's going to say, really? Not only was Saul of Tarsus a changed man, later called Paul the Apostle, he wrote a whole portion of the New Testament. Amazing. It's going to be an amazing time, isn't it? As we examine the records. Yeah. Let's look at Peter's testimony in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. Sabina, if you could read that for us. You know, the right before the text you're going to read, it talks about that the Lord is not willing that any should perish.
Amen.
How many does the Lord want to experience eternal life with Him?
All.
Everyone.
All.
Everyone.
Every person.
Whosoever is the word in John 3:16, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
But we have a choice to make. We have a choice. But what does Peter remind us, writing to Christians in 2 Peter chapter 3, 10 to 13?
So I'll be reading from the New International Version, and it says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives, as you look forward to the day of God and Spirit's coming, that they will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells."
The day of the Lord will come.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Because earlier in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, what does it tell us about? Do you remember, anyone? It talks about in the last days, Stephanie?
In the last days that there will be those who are just various. They're walking according to their own lust,
basically. Does it use the word scoffers or mockers?
Yeah. Even false teachers.
False teachers, but particularly mocking the idea.
Yes, it's coming.
that Christ is going to come back again. But Peter says, the day of the Lord
will come.
By the way, that reference to the day of the Lord is actually after the 1,000 years when the elements melt with fervent heat. Mm-hmm. Revelation 20 says, fire came down from God out of heaven and consumed them, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's this lake of fire where the earth is burned up. I'm so thankful the Bible also talks in Revelation about the saints being inside the New Jerusalem, right? Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how God does that, some kind of heat shield, but it's enough to know that we're going to be, what was that phrase? With the Lord, right? Yes. We're with Him. Yes, Stephanie.
Well, when you said the heat shield, I thought of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Okay.
And they didn't even feel anything when they were in the furnace, and they were walking with the Son of God, one like the Son of God.
Right.
And when we are with God Himself and Jesus, we won't feel the heat.
That's a beautiful story in Daniel chapter 3. It says that the only thing that burned
was the rope.
Was
the ropes that bound them. They didn't even smell of smoke. So when the Lord is with us, we are secure forever, right, Pedro?
I normally say if you're on fire for the Lord, you won't feel the fire.
Okay. We've made our decision. At that point, every case is settled, right?
Right. Yes.
But the day of the Lord will come. But again, that verse, what did you notice? What's our hope? We look for what?
A new heaven.
New heavens and
new earth.
Where righteousness dwells. So what are some things that we might be doing in this new heavens and new earth? Apparently, we have real bodies, right?
Yes.
Remember when Jesus was raised from the dead and Thomas was like, I don't know if it really happened. Mm. When he appeared a week later, what did he say, Gladys?
He said, touch here. Put your hand on my side.
And didn't he also say, do you have something to eat?
Yes.
I don't even know if he needed something to eat right then.
Yes.
I mean, he could have been hungry or he could have just been saying, I'm not some kind of apparition or disembodied spirit. No, we are a living soul. We're a person, right? With the breath of God, the life of God. It was a real person in his resurrection, and we will be too. But the world will have changed to a new heavens and a new earth.
Well, you mentioned about being hungry. I hope he was hungry because I want to be hungry in heaven to experience all the delicious food there.
All right. Well, I'm sure that he had hunger and he cooked breakfast in John chapter, what would 20, that have been? Chapter
21,
20,
20,
21, right. He makes the breakfast. And so, yes, but he's wanting to emphasize that our resurrected body is Eden restored. And Adam and Eve were real people, right?
Yes.
They had real lives and they also will have an eternal life by faith in their Savior. Well, let's look at some of the other things we'll be doing. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. What do we see there? Gladys, read that for us.
Yes, Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what He is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God.
Oh, Pedro, you must be happy. You're going to get fruit from the tree of life. So what does that tell me about our life for eternity? One little glimpse.
Well, it's just what Adam and Eve were doing as well. They were caring for the trees and the
tree of life.
That's right.
Was there for them. So it's a real
life.
A real place, real existence.
Experience.
Tree of life fruit is not the only thing we'll eat, but we will eat.
Yes.
So there is this sense of Eden restored.
Yes.
What about Revelation 7, verses 14 through 17? Jason?
I've got the New King James Version here. Revelation chapter 7, verses 14 through 17. And I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. Mm. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.
Pedro, I didn't want you to feel bad. It said they won't hunger. We're talking about deprivation, right?
Yes. Yes.
There will be things to eat, but...
We'll have appetite.
We'll have appetites, okay. But yeah. We won't be deprived. But what was the key phrase you noticed there that tells us what we'll be doing that really caught my attention?
Worship Him.
Worship Him. Yes.
They will serve Him. Did you see that in your translation?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Stephanie, how could we, even if we are Eden restored, right? No more sin, no more suffering, no more pain. We are like the perfect original creation. How could we serve the great and awesome God of the universe?
What comes to my mind is worshiping Him for who He is and all that we knew and are learning as we're experiencing one-on-one time with the God of the universe.
So worshiping Him? Mm-hmm. They overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and also
by the word of their testimony.
Do you think we might give a testimony of the grace of God, Gladys? Yes.
I think that we'll be kind of celebrities there. Everybody from all the worlds that didn't fall will want to know, how do you make it? You know, we'll be able to tell how God was so faithful to us through the whole tribulation, all the issues that we had, and how patient He was with us, and we will tell of His love.
I somehow think they may want to talk to Moses and Adam and Elijah too, but we've got all eternity, right?
Yes.
What else do you think about when you think about serving God in His temple?
Pastor Derek, I think that God's kingdom probably has so many functions that He can distribute to His people to help Him, you know, in the organization and the ruling of things. So I see that God probably will give us tasks also to do, and I feel like He will ask us to serve in certain functions. So I'm looking forward to see what He wants from me.
It sounds like it's going to be a purposeful existence, right?
That's right. Yes.
We may learn new tasks
that
we can then serve the Lord. Pedro. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember exactly the verse that the Bible says that we'll be building our homes and taking care of our vineyards. So we'll be able to live life for the glory of God. We're not going to be servants of others, but we're going to be able to live a life at its fullness.
I'm thinking that the prophet, the gospel prophet Isaiah, talks about building houses and inhabiting them and planting vineyards and not someone else eating the fruit. I'm excited, actually. We're going to do a whole series on the gospel prophet, on Isaiah. It's one of the most powerful books in the Hebrew scriptures. But let's look at one insight in Isaiah 65 and verse 17. And Stephanie, do you have that? You could read it for us.
Just verse 17?
Verse 17.
Okay. And the New King James Version says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind."
Does that remind you of something we just read? Second Peter chapter 3, right? It's going to be dissolved. New heavens, new earth, where righteousness dwells. But
right.
I sense, Stephanie, you wanted to read on a little bit. That's good. Let's look still in chapter 65, verses 21 through 25.
All right. "They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble, for they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food, and shall not hurt nor destroy. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord.
Amen.
Now, there's going to be activity. Does it sound that like there may be children?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Offspring?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think there may be babies born in the new heaven and new earth? Jason, I saw your brow wrinkle a little bit. What do you think?
I don't know if we know exactly. The scriptures don't tell us every single thing that's going to happen. We know that it's going to be glorious, and we know that we're going to get to have communion, but there may be some things God hasn't told us explicitly that we might have to kind of look forward to for those answers.
Mm-hmm. I just know we'll be with the Lord.
Right. Amen. Yes.
Stephanie?
You know, it could be, and this is just a thought, it could be children that died either before they were born or they died early on in life, and they're raised up, and they need to be cared for by mothers and fathers.
I don't want to create too much confusion, but if that happened when Jesus came, they've gone through 1,000 years of the millennium, so they've grown up a little bit. Yeah. I think the right answer is we don't know all of that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't Jesus say somewhere responding to the religious leaders that there won't be marriage in heaven, at least as we know it now?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So does that mean that Adam won't live with Eve and Mary and Joseph? What do you think?
We don't know.
We don't know. We know it will be real.
Yes.
We know it will be better than anything we've ever imagined. Yeah. I think the limitations of love will be changed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there was a family unit in Eden, wasn't there?
Yes.
And then someone saying, well, what would have happened in Eden if there had not been sin? Yeah. He said, be fruitful and multiply.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What would have happened when the earth was fully populated?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question.
That's a good question.
What does it mean to be fully populated?
Yeah.
Is there a limitation on eternity?
Mm.
I don't know. So I guess what that's telling us, and I'm asking this without having the answers, is that it's enough that we know that we'll be with the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Yes.
And it will be a place where righteousness dwells.
Yes.
And we have a few surprises in store for us.
Yes.
What are some unanswered questions you have about what this eternal life, this real existence with the Lord will be like? Any unanswered questions? I may not have the answer for you, but that's okay, Gladys.
Well, forever, my question has been what Stephanie said, you know, like what happens to a little baby that dies in a car crash or, you know, an unborn baby. I always wonder about that, you know, more because when I was a teacher, I lost a student. He was only 6 years old. And to me, has always bothered me, you know, like, what will happen? She didn't live a full life. It's not like, oh, she was a sinful person, you know, or, you know, did she have a chance to? It's just like, that's the question that I have. What will happen to creatures or little people that don't have the capacity to yet be baptized or accept the Lord?
I think we have an answer to that question somewhere, but Stephanie, help us.
Well, I wasn't thinking of a Bible verse, but I accept that God is not willing that any should perish, but all would be come to repentance. And I trust that the God that I serve loves me enough to give me every opportunity before the end of my life.
And you know, I think even today, the destiny of many a child or baby is determined by the parent.
Right.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine that a believing parent who had a stillborn child or a little one like you're talking about, that God would not make all things new.
Right.
Mm. Yeah, right.
But we'll see what that will look like.
Yes.
Yeah.
You say, well, Derek, what if the child believed but the parent didn't believe? Then what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we got to look at a couple of Bible texts. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12 is one, and John 16 verse 10 is another one. Let's start with 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Jason, if you have that, read verse 12. By the way, this is a beautiful chapter the greatest of all is love. And of course, Jesus would say that, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor. And God is love. Mm-hmm. But what do you read in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 13?
I've got the New King James Version. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12 says this, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known."
Mm-hmm. So we don't have all of the answers.
Yeah, that's right.
We see through a glass dimly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But we still see. Pedro, could you read from John 16 and verse 12?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, John 16, verse 12. "I still have many things to say to you, but I cannot bear them now."
Actually, but you cannot bear them now, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was back then. maybe even now there are some things that that the Lord says, well, I could share a lot of things about this new heaven and new earth, but I'm not sure your brain could handle it or bear it now.
Yeah.
Out of love, he doesn't tell us everything.
Right.
Yeah. Like what? What possible things could there be? Hyperspace travel, visiting different worlds that have not fallen. I don't know. I don't want to say yes, because we don't know. Yeah, what do we know for sure, Pedro?
Well, we know for sure that we're going to be living with Jesus. We're going to be able to be with families and people that we love. One thing I always ask, I have that question I'll be answering. You know, I know Adam was not made with wings, but we don't know if we're going to fly in heaven, but hopefully we have some type of transportation.
Well, and sometimes we use the word heaven when we actually are talking about the new earth.
Yeah. Right.
Because Revelation tells us that God's going to create a new heavens and a new earth,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we are up there in heaven for that 1,000 years, but then the new Jerusalem descends. We're on the new planet.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things. Let me just ask you this as we wrap up our study. Mm-hmm. From what you've learned from Scripture, while we still see through a glass darkly, what are you most looking forward to in terms of this eternal life with the Lord and with those who've chosen to accept His salvation? Sabina?
For me, there are three things. First and foremost, I want to meet Jesus in person. Talk to Him in person. I look forward for that day. Second, I want to meet my Father. Yes, I hope to meet my Father there, and I really want to spend time with Him. And the third thing, I really wish Jesus would take me in some sort of intergalactic trip, that He would show me the creation and places where I haven't ever could be there. So,
now someone's listening to that beautiful testimony might say, Sabina, there's going to be a long line of people waiting to talk to Jesus.
Yes.
And what's the answer?
Eternity. Eternity.
It's okay.
Yes.
I have eternity. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know whether you'll take a number and come back. I don't know that. We don't know.
Yeah.
But we know that it will be a place where righteousness dwells. Gladys, what are you looking for?
Well, just like Sabina, I want to meet Jesus face to face. But I also want to you know, meet up with my family members who died, especially my grandma. Mm-hmm. And then instead of intergalactic, like Sabina, I want to go to the depths of the ocean. Mm-hmm. I just want to go down there and just have a trip on the bottom of the sea.
The Bible says there's no more sea, but I don't know whether that means no more separation or no more water. But we'll find that out too, right?
Yes. Yes.
Jason, is there something that you're really looking forward to in this? Well, what would you like to learn? Is there something you want to learn that maybe there's limitations right now?
Definitely. So I've gotten the opportunity to sit and listen to some of the smartest minds, professors, et cetera, that we have here on this earth, but I can't wait to sit kind of like as a student of Jesus and listen to Him about the plan of salvation and the details of God's character, because I understand it like a tiny bit. And so being able to actually understand that and hear it from Jesus Himself, and that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. Stephanie?
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to no Satan, no sin, and the opportunity to fly.
Okay.
Because I've always wanted to fly.
Yeah.
I can't even comprehend the concept of no sin and no Satan, though, in a place where righteousness dwells. Yes. Only righteousness.
Yes.
Everyone is thinking only righteousness. Mm. What is that going to look like? I don't know, but I'm looking forward to it.
Mm. It's going to be beautiful, isn't it? Mm. It's going to be our greatest joy. Pedro, something you're really looking forward to.
Looking forward for building my own home. Be able to say, this is the place, and invite Jesus to come in and all my friends. You know, I look forward to see you all in my house.
And to know how to do it. Some of us may not have the talents right now. We may learn those things too. We're talking about a real life with Jesus, a real future, ongoing learning.
Yes.
And Jason, I want to highlight that just that time, not only to be with Jesus, but to learn from him, to sit at his feet, and to be able to hear how much he loves us and the plan of salvation. We'd like to hear from you. What do you look forward to learning as you think about eternity? It's your gift if you trust Jesus as your Savior and soon coming King. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of men or women what God has prepared for those who love him. He's revealed it by his Spirit in the Word, but we have to claim it. We have to say, Jesus, save a place for me. Save me now so I can be with you then and forever.
Amen.
Is that your heart's desire? I know it's ours. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And I believe it's yours too. Let's pray and make that recommitment or maybe first commitment to Jesus as our Savior. Father in heaven, we've caught a glimpse of that amazing future, learning for eternity with you in a new heavens and new earth where righteousness dwells. Some, maybe for the first time today, will say, Jesus, be my Savior. Save a place for me in that eternal home. And others will say, Lord, I recommit. I say thank you again, Jesus, for saving me. We long for that day to see you soon. We pray this prayer in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thanks for joining us. Lessons for Life and Education, not from worldly wisdom, but from God himself. Take those lessons, practical insights that will bless your life. Accept them, live them, and then go out and be a blessing to those around you.